Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
So great to be with you this morning to share at our Good Friday service. And if you are here for the first time or second time, it's great to have you in the house this morning, and really do trust that something would impact your heart as we just take a few moments to talk about one aspect of what Jesus did upon the cross for each and every one of us on a Friday. Romania, 1989. The news of the plight of children in orphanages reached the Western world. Because of the neglect of children suffered, many grew up with physical and mental delays. Children with obvious mental delays and disorders were given false diagnoses from untrained nurses and doctors. According to John Hamilton, a lot of what scientists know about parental bonding and the brain comes from studies of children who spent time in Romanian orphanages during the 1980s and 90s. The conditions of the orphanages showed that not only is nutritional vital to a child's development, but also basic human contact. Due to a lack of human contact, babies developed without stimulation, which led to self-stimulation, with these characteristics, children were often misdiagnosed to have mental disabilities and forced to move to another institution. Human beings were made for connection. And if you were around in the 80s and 90s, you would have understood a little bit about the Romanian orphanages, that the West responded by sending, and many churches responded beautifully, by sending teams of people over not to do anything other than to hold children. Because they realized that the touch of skin on skin plays such a major role in the development of all of our lives. In his book called Marked by Love, Tim Stevens has a chapter called I'm Tired of the Mask. He mentions that there seems to be an unwritten rule requiring followers of Jesus to wear masks. It's as though once you become a believer, you have signed a pledge to be fake and you are issued a mask not to be taken off at any time. To admit any vulnerability becomes a sign of minimizing the power of God. And since people are looking to Christians and their leaders to have all of the answers and none of the doubts, they have to live up to that image and don't spill any of the beans. Share your struggles with therapists, only go on pretending all is well. And for many churches and many Christians, we have built certain walls of separation and cordoned off areas that don't even go there areas of our life. We've become our own spin doctor, image consultant, and press secretary. We fake it, flee from prying eyes, or fight to stay on the surface. Great author Henry Nouwen said it like this: self-rejection is the greatest enemy of spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that God calls us the beloved. Mark chapter 15, today being Good Friday, the story of Lent leads us up to this day where Jesus is upon the cross. And in Mark chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible says this: at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" You know, in this Lent period, the lead up, the weeks leading up to Easter, to the resurrection, it's very common for most churches to focus on the physical pain that Jesus endured, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the crucifixions. But can I pose this morning that although those physical pains were of tremendous agony, I wonder how they compared to the emotional trauma that Jesus endured. The betrayal of one of his own through Judas, the denial of one of his closest comrades through Peter, the desertion of most of the disciples that had spent 3 years promising that they would never leave him, and now on the cross, the sense of abandonment from his father. The God with whom he had become so intimately aligned with, communed on a daily basis with, now falls inexplicably silent and distant in the hour of Jesus' greatest need. And when Jesus cried out on the cross, "Why have you abandoned me?" It's not a question that was looking for an answer, but it was a way of expressing the horrors that he was feeling of abandonment. The moment was not one of agony. It was not a theological curiosity. We read in John chapter 18, Jesus knew very well why he was on the cross. He knew very well. In actual fact, he actually surrendered his life to go onto the cross to carry the sin of all humanity. So Jesus wasn't asking, "God, why have you left me? Why am I on the cross?" He wasn't asking that question. He was actually quoting from Psalm 22, where David penned about, without even knowing it, 1,000 years before this moment, David is penning about the crucifixion of the Messiah, even in a time when crucifixion was not even heard of. David wrote about what people thought was about David, but was actually prophetically about Jesus. So Jesus knew why he was upon that cross, and yet he still cried out. This word abandonment, it means this. It means the belief and expectation that others will leave, that others are unreliable, that relationships are fragile, that loss is inevitable, and that you will ultimately end up alone. And Jesus feeling this pain of abandonment, taking the pain of loneliness upon himself so that people in 2024 would not have to endure the trauma of being alone or abandoned. And what Jesus did upon the cross, I believe, helps to solve one of the greatest obstacles to the church today of living in the fullness of Christ, and it's called the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit is when Christian people and beyond the church, but let's just talk to us this morning if you're a follower of Jesus, when we struggle in our heart to find a place that we can call home. We see it in life today. We see it in marriages today, the continual moving around. Author Bill Muhlenberg, in his article, The Facts on Fatherless, noted these things, that children that grow up may face, won't exactly face or definitely face, but may face a greater opportunity or chance to fall into poverty, often have lower educational performance, increased crime, drug abuse, sexual issues, sometimes increased mental health issues. And for us as followers of Jesus that understand today on Good Friday, that upon that cross when Jesus called out, "God, why have you abandoned me?" That in that moment of trauma and emotional grief for him, he took upon for us the temptation to live as an orphan, the temptation for us to live like we are unloved, the temptation for us to live like God does not see us, does not have our name, and we are left somehow on the shelf. And many Jesus followers live and think and act like fatherless orphans because we have never truly embraced God's love on a personal level for us. The storms, the setbacks, the disappointments of life have made us afraid to trust and afraid to let go, afraid to risk becoming vulnerable by believing that God, when he says that, "I love you," somehow got it wrong about us. Because we do not love ourselves. We feel unlovable and find it difficult, if not impossible, to believe that anyone else could love us, including God. The thought of Him loving us personally seems too good to be true and much more than we deserve. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples. This is leading up to the cross. And He says this in verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And in verse 18, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And Jesus is talking about His death and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying is that post my resurrection, my Spirit in you is going to be better than me beside you. And it will be a sign that you will not be left as orphans. And as Jesus is on the cross calling out, "God, why have you abandoned me?" Have a look at what happens in verse 37. "Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed His last, and the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The trauma of the cross triggers something in the temple. Now, I want you to see something this morning. For the Jewish people, Jerusalem was the center of the earth. It was their everything. Everything revolved around Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem was the temple. So Jerusalem was the most important city, the most important place to them. But inside that city, the temple was the center of Jerusalem. And inside the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies. That was the central, that was the bullseye for all of the Jewish people. It was a place that was out of bounds, and it was where God lived. If you can think about that, God's address. Only once a year, the high priest cautiously would be able to enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. The high priest was permitted to enter this small windowless enclosure to burn incense and to sprinkle blood of a sacrificial animal on the mercy seat of the ark. And by doing so, the high priest atoned not only for his own sin, but for the sin of all of the people. And in this extraordinary moment, as Jesus calls out, "God, why have you abandoned me?" That curtain that separated God from the people is torn top from bottom. And there's a couple of things we can learn about this in the next few minutes. In Jewish tradition, if a son or daughter, if a child was lost, as in deceased and died, a father would always tear their clothing. So the tearing of the curtain was also a representation of God's heart being torn for the death of His son. Secondly is this, and I love this, is God lived behind the curtain. So when Jesus gave up His life, what is God doing? He's tearing the curtain, and God no longer lives in a place, but now He is released to live in a people. And so when Jesus says, "I won't leave you as orphans, I'm sending you my Spirit," and on the cross cries out, "Why have you abandoned me?" At the same time, the curtain is torn. God's Spirit is released into the earth. And thirdly, what is so profound about this is that for the next 40 years or so, the Jewish people still worshipped at the temple. So my question is, what did they do with the curtain? Now, you study on this, and scholars, no one agrees. Some say, well, it wasn't actually torn in the first place. I mean, come on, seriously? Most seem to think to save face and to stop the story of Jesus' death and the tearing of the curtain, that the curtain was either re-sewn or replaced. And so for the next 40 or so years, the Jewish leaders keep offering sacrifices to a place where God no longer is. Doesn't that sound a little bit like religion for you and I today? That the world, us often, still do religious practices. We still tick the box of, I got to attend church and I got to give my tithe and I got to serve once a month and I got to do all these things. And we do that, but often not realizing that we are religiously paying tribute to a system where God no longer resides. You can't be a Christian without. To be a real follower of Jesus, you must. We have all these to-do lists. If we pray more, if we attend more, if we serve more. And often every time we do that with a mentality that somehow when I do this, God is happier, we put another stitch in the curtain. Making our way up. Being a follower of Jesus, being saved, doesn't automatically mean that we're going to feel loved, secure, soothed, or seen. And Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that we believe he died on the cross. Jesus' death upon the cross released his spirit who would come and heal our orphaned, abandoned hearts so that you and I today could enjoy being sons and daughters of our Father. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says it like this: so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. As the musicians come, I want you to think. Good Friday. The emotional trauma that Jesus carried to the cross. The thought of being abandoned. The call out to his Father. The tearing of the curtain. The release of God's presence from a place now to take up residence in a people so that we would never have to feel like we are slaves to doing to get God's love, to earn God's love. But somehow in Australia, in 2024, in a time when there are more orphaned hearts, more men who struggle knowing that they are loved by God, more young people that are growing up trying to find their identity and trying to find affirmation through followers on Instagram or social media that are so desperate looking for affirmation that when you think today, all those years ago, the parting of the veil, the tearing of the veil, God is saying, my spirit now is available to every single one of us. And when we are people that say, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you, that his spirit comes and dwells on the inside of us. And it affirms and confirms that you and I are children of God. My daughter has a foster girl. She's about 6 years of age. I can't use names. They've had her for about 4 years. Such a delight, such a beautiful kid. Absolutely beautiful. But what she was fostered out of would break your heart if I was allowed to share it. And I see as this little girl grows, her desperate need for love. Like there's two other kids and they've got a need for love, but it's not the ache that this little girl has. And I see the father, the mother, my daughter, her husband, loving on this little girl, and the touch and the sitting on laps and the rubbing of face and the herd necessity to feel skin on skin is way more than probably just an average child. But you see the change in this little girl as that love envelops her life and covers her. And when she knows that she's safe, that there's a place that she can always come back to where she'll find forgiveness, acceptance, and love, you see the transformation taking place. And it is a picture, folks, of us and God. And I don't know what's going on in your world, but I've lived long enough and I've worked with enough people to know that if there's an issue that we face in the church today, it's an issue of feeling abandoned in our hearts. Feeling like we just can't trust, we can't be vulnerable. There's an orphan spirit that wants to rest upon this nation. And somehow the church has to wrestle with the fact that, God, you call me a son and a daughter. You actually love me. Even though I did X, Y, Z yesterday, even though my mind is full of such toxicity and pollution, you still push through all of that and you love me. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, said this. He was asked by a newspaper interviewer what he thought would be the number one issue that Christians face today. His answer, very succinct and very quickly, he said this: the number one issue is that most Christians I know do not believe that they are deeply loved by God. I want to let you know, you are deeply loved by God. And Good Friday, of all Jesus went through, he did for you, he did for me. And that God's presence no longer wants to dwell in a building. It doesn't dwell in the fancy building that you see down the road somewhere. It doesn't dwell in the rafters of this building. It dwells in the hearts of his people. And like my little foster grandchild, when God's presence dwells in our hearts, it has the great ability to transform our lives. So you may be stuck right now in whatever it is you feel stuck in, but please heed my words. You open your heart up to God's Spirit, and in 6 months, in 1 year, in 2 years, I guarantee you this, your life will be radically different. Your marriage will be radically different. Your health, your financial position, God will come in and transform every part of our world if we let him. So Good Friday, that's why it's good news. And that's why on a day like today, to look at the emotional trauma that Jesus carried for you and for I, that we would not have to live as an orphan. Every man in this place that still feels and carries the rejection in our lives that somehow I'm broken and I'm flawed. That's not the way God sees us. He loves you and he wants to be a part of the transformation process in all of our hearts. So this is what we're going to do as we close. I'm simply going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to pray for you, but I also want to make an opportunity, because there's probably some people here this morning, and maybe you've been exposed to some sort of religious activity in the past. Maybe this is your first time ever being in a church like this and experiencing this. And maybe you never actually knew that Jesus did this for me. Maybe this is all kind of just starting to join the dots a little bit. And you would say this morning, God, if this is real, then I want to know more about it. I want to either receive your Spirit or at least begin the journey of understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to take a minute and pray for you. So if we can just right now, just close our eyes. And Father, I pray for every single person in this place Father, I pray, because we can't cast out an orphan spirit. It's got to be displaced with God's love. Father, I pray this morning, if there is a revelation that I want in my life, and I pray rests upon this whole congregation this morning, I pray that we would understand how deeply we are loved. And God, let that richness of your love fill our hearts. Father, let the love of Jesus today expel every feeling of abandonment, every orphan spirit, I pray this morning, would be repelled by the blood and the love of Jesus. And while eyes are closed, if you say this morning, hey, Ross, I want to know more. Or yeah, I do want to receive God's Spirit this morning. While eyes are closed, if that's you, I'd love you just to slip your hand up in the air and allow me to see it. Thank you. Over the side there. Who else? Right across this place this morning, you just say, you know what? I know my life's not right with God, but this morning I want my life to be right with God. Just slip your hand up in the air and say, yeah, that's me this morning. I want to get my heart right with Jesus. I'm tired of living this life of running away. I need to look in the mirror and say, God, I need something in my life. And maybe this morning you've tried to fill your life with so many other vices and you're still empty on the inside. And maybe, just maybe, it's God's love that you're missing. So one more time as I look across, just lift your hand in the air and go, hey, that's me this morning. I want to know what it is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Over the side there, you can put it down. Come on, I feel like there's two or three more people here this morning. And I can feel the wrestle that's going on in you right now. And that wrestle, if you would allow God to win this wrestle right now, trust me on this, your life will be transformed. Thank you so much, man, up the front here. Come on, who else is there this morning? You say, yeah, that's me. I know, I have been putting this off and God is on my case. I can feel it. Thank you so much, man. In the middle there, up the back. So proud of you. One more time as I look across, I don't want to pass this moment by if there's still someone here that says, you know what, I've been running from this for so long. I want to surrender to what God's got for me. Wonderful. Thank you so much. In the middle there, that's awesome. You can put your hands down. Then all of us together, this is what we're going to do. I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer. Really, just a few words. And I'd love us all to pray this. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it from in your heart. It's just a prayer that acknowledges and says, hey, God, I acknowledge you and I want to begin this journey. So just repeat these words after me. Jesus, today, thank you that you love me so much. I give you my life. I trust you with my life. Amen.